All right, welcome to it. It is a Problem Corner right here on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. Hi, how are you? How are you doing? Are you Monday'd? Are you ready for the big Monday? Here, week four now of our lock-in, and we are ready to hang out and discuss with you folks pretty much anything, because this is Problem Corner, and that means it's your show, your water cooler discussion, your chance to sound off on pretty much anything. And that's what today's all about. It's open line, open forum. No guests lined up today, and we're ready to rock and roll. Don't forget, you can always locate us as well, as we're simulcasting the show here on Facebook Live. Just go to facebook.com/localtalkradio/live. facebook.com/localtalkradio/live. And you could join us there, and we'll all share in the conversation as we go through. Phone number to call for Problem Corner is 503-298-4540. 503-298-4540. And the phone lines are open today. People are ready to talk from you, whoever, you know, wherever, whatever conversation you want to have, we are ready to do it. So the story around the state, I guess, as we watch here, is to the story that we're watching is what's happening with governments and what's happening with the shutdown, what's happening with the economy. And it's not real great. The story overall is that, people are losing money, and governments are, in fact, losing money across the state of Alaska. The consequences, the economic consequences for the pandemic itself and the associated shutdown is pretty freaking huge at this point. There was an interesting article in the Anchorage Daily News talking about that specifically, that local governments are the next ripple in the pandemic's economic consequences. And this is an interesting article for several reasons from my point of view. And I'd love to hear what you have to say on it this morning as we go through it. So feel free to call in and talk about it. So it starts off by talking about the Denali Borough. And the Denali Borough, of course, where Denali National Park is and Glitter Gulch and the whole thing, is talks about how, because of the downturn in tourism and everything else, that they could feel an impact on their local tax revenue to the tune of about, 50 or 60, 70%. Right now, the Denali Borough gets about 80% of the budget from the hotel bed tax, hotel motel bed taxes that are paid out of the park in the Glitter Gulch area there. And so because tourism expected to be, well, I don't think catastrophic is too strong a word for what they're talking about right now. Cruise ships, by the way, for those of you who've been kind of following along at home, cruise ships are well down, and the Centers for Disease Control has now just extended the no sail order for cruise ships for 3 more months. Canada is sticking by its decision to keep cruise ships docked until at least July. And so no early sailings, no May-June timeframe for that to come in. And even if it gets kicked off again in July, I think you're going to see there's not going to be a whole lot of people who are willing to, in their eyes, sacrifice or potentially, gamble with life and limb by heading out to travel and tourist in Alaska. So this is a pretty tough choice. The story goes on to talk about the number of tourists and everything else and how much money is expected to make. And the bottom line of the whole story, coming from the Denali Borough component, is that it's going to be pretty devastating. Now, there is one good piece of news in that whole thing, is that the Denali Borough does have this one thing working in its favor. It's the only borough in the state that funds its government 1 year in advance. So money for the budget that starts on July 1 has already been in the bank since last year. So they're going to feel it, but the real pain won't come until next year because they have already put that to bed. Interestingly enough, they touch on several other cities, including Skagway, which is expected to lose about 90% of its revenue. But that town has a huge cash reserve, even so that they have probably a couple years worth of cash reserves to be able to make it. Pretty small town. Juneau is mentioned, as well as Ketchikan and Haines. They're both, Ketchikan and Haines are both planning budget cuts and spending from savings, with other municipalities doing the same thing. Juneau is planning on raising property taxes and spending from savings. And even the Muni of Anchorage is mentioned in this article. This says the municipality operates on a calendar year, doesn't rely on sales taxes or bed taxes to a significant degree. It says it does have a diverse tax base as well as other non-tax revenue sources that support the public. However, the potential effects of COVID on the budget are not fully known at this point. What's interesting in the story, though, is there's two things that are glaringly missing from this story by James Brooks in the article. One, there is no mention of Fairbanks or the Fairbanks North Star Borough. Two, there is no mention of the Mat-Su. And that means both the Matanuska-Susitna Borough nor Wasilla or Palmer, which are the two cities, well, Wasilla, Palmer, and Houston, which make up the three cities that are inside the Mat-Su Borough. Now, I say that's interesting because Fairbanks is facing some true, true monumental challenges, including the fact that they have a new budget that's up for consideration right now. And the whole point of this article was that many of the municipalities around the state are right in the middle of budgeting. And so that they know that everything is about to go pear-shaped. And so if there is anything that's passed right now in any borough, city, or anywhere around the states that is currently in the middle of budgeting, well, there's nobody to blame but the people who pass these budgets. Now, again, we talked a little bit about this budget last week. The budget in the borough, $175 million. $175 million with, just as an example, six brand new employees added to the mix by Mayor Bryce Ward, suggested by Mayor Bryce Ward. And there are, so far, there was really no justification for those people other than these were, you know, this is what was needed. Have not been able to find any other real discussion. I have reached out to the mayor's office a couple times, have not heard back to have him on the program. I wanted to have him on the program to discuss. I will do so again this afternoon. I will send another email this afternoon to reach out and see if we can get some more information from him as to the justification for adding more people, especially in a time when people are smarting. I mean, ooh, baby, hurting bad right now. That's what's happening. So that, to me, was very interesting. And no mention of the Matanuska-Susitna Borough, which is doing fairly well. They have a fairly tight budget here, and the cities themselves are both pretty self-reliant. But when you take a look at that, and you know what kills me is when I look at the when I look at the curvature of where the budget has been going. When I left the borough in 5 years ago, I left the Fairbanks North Star Borough. I was on the assembly when I left. That was the last month before the election. I was on the assembly. The budget was at $142 million. This was the fall of 2014. $142 million, maybe it was 145, I think it's $145 million. So we have gone up about almost $35 million in 5 years. And nobody thinks twice about this. Nobody thinks twice about these increases. But as you start to extrapolate them out and you look at the costs and you see everything else that's going on, this is a huge deal. Add to the fact that the borough mayor, Carl Castle, former borough mayor, who served one office and was one and done, and I think because he saw some of the huge things that were coming, including $250 million, that's B, billion with a B, in deferred maintenance, $280-something million in deferred maintenance. That's a huge, huge problem. And nobody's really talking about it. And I think we should. I think we should have a discussion about it. And I want to know what you guys are saying. Are you expecting an increase in taxes? Would you stand for an increase in taxes right now? Should borough government be growing? Or should borough government be restricting and reducing itself in light of everything that's going on? Should we all feel the pain? Or should is it okay for government to increase to maintain essential services while you are feeling the pinch at home? Well, I want to know what you have to say at 503-298-4540. 503-298-4540. It is Problem Corner. I am Michael Dukes, filling in for Dave Prues. We will be back with more right after these messages on KFAR. All right. Well, hi, how are you? What's happening out there? Good morning, my friends. Thanks for being part of Problem Corner. All right. Dale says he has an afternoon show. God, it feels that way, doesn't it? It's not even afternoon yet, but it feels that way. How are you guys doing? You guys all ready to rock and roll? What do you think? I mean, I'm looking at these costs, and I'm looking at, you know, everything else, and it seems like every action that we've seen so far from politicians and leadership is we have to protect government at all costs. That just seems to be the modus operandi. Meanwhile, people are losing their jobs left and right. I mean, we're seeing and the businesses, small businesses. I just started a program with my radio stations in Anchorage where we created a small fund for businesses who are suffering greatly during the COVID crisis. And I said we would give a week's worth of advertising to 50 businesses. And we started it yesterday and I'm almost full. I mean, businesses who are struggling to try and make it. The Small Business Administration, no, I'm sorry, the Chamber of Commerce has already said that they are going to be that they are not even sure that between 15% and 25% of businesses will just be non-existent. They will just cease to exist if this goes on for much longer. They said up to 2 months, 25%. Of businesses said they will not reopen their doors. We're one month, 4 weeks, 10% would be it. Two months would be going on 25%. Well, we're on week 5 in the South Central area with Anchorage being shut down. So we're already beyond the 10%. It's going to be even more than that. It's crazy stuff. Crazy, crazy stuff. All right. Well, we are about 30 seconds out now. Short commercial breaks for this show, and we're going to jump back into it. Please do me a favor, like this video, like KFAR's Facebook page, and if you feel like it, feel free to call. If you want to call and give your perspective from another part of the state, I think sometimes people in Fairbanks would benefit from that. So give us a shout, will you? Just hit us with it. It is Problem Corner right here on KFAR 660 AM Local Talk Radio. Here we go. All right, welcome back to Problem Corner right here on KFAR, 97.5 FM, 660 AM. I'm Michael Dukes, and I'm filling in for David Prues during the whole pandemic awareness time right now. That's what I'm here for. I am I'm doing my best to do him proud. He will be returning once the crisis is over and we've got the stations open back up to public and the public and personnel and stuff like that. So he will be returning. I'm just filling in now because I can work remotely. I have the technology to work remotely pretty much anywhere I want to do it. So I would love to hear what you guys want to say this morning. Problem Corner is, well, to me anyway, this is just me, is always been that community show where people get to air their grievances or talk about their ideas. Last week, Lee called in and talked to us about houses potentially freezing up and reminding everybody to check their ground loops from the main utilities and, you know, make sure, just, you know, it's a little bit of everything. That's what it's about. It's, when I say water cooler discussion, I mean, you know, I mean exactly that. It's like that, that conversation around the old coffee pot, and we would love to hear from you guys. And so I feel free to ring us up and hit us at 503-298-4540 and just tell us what's on your mind. Tell us what you're thinking and steer the conversation. So we're going to do that as well. I got some other headlines that we can talk about from around the state and around the borough. But let's first go over to phones and see what you guys have to say this morning. Good morning. Who's this? You're on Problem Corner.
This is Jerry, Michael.
Good morning, Jerry. What's on your mind, sir?
Well, I'm in Fairbanks here, and boy, I really miss your show.
Well, there's nothing there's nothing to miss. I'm on every morning from 6 to 8 a.m. You just got to get up a little earlier.
Well, yeah, I do, but I always enjoyed listening to it at work.
All right. Well, yeah, fair enough.
But being that you were in the government somewhat, could you explain to me where our budget keeps going up and up, but we have all this extra money from the weed stores. They've raised our property taxes the last 3 years in a row. I mean, they can't even plow the roads in Fairbanks.
Right.
But all this income, extra income that's coming in from our new sources just seem to get gobbled up somewhere.
Well, let me first state that, Jerry, the borough does not have road powers. And so they can't plow the roads. It's not the borough's responsibility to plow the roads. That is a state function or a city function. They have limited road powers in the road service areas where the local communities, the local little neighborhoods or whatever have basically taxed themselves specifically for that. But the borough itself doesn't plow the roads. It doesn't have road powers. As far as where the money went, you know, that's the million-dollar question or several million-dollar question at this point. We have seen increases. I don't think that they're making a mint off of the marijuana shops. I mean, they're making a few bucks, but even if it was $1 million or $2, which I don't think it's that much in the Anchorage or in the Fairbanks area, that's still just a drop in the bucket when you're talking about a budget of $172 million. So, this follows that principle of basically – I can't remember. It's not Godwin's. It's somebody else's principle where basically all the government spending basically fills up to consume all the available income and resources. And that's kind of part of it. You know, you got to remember the largest part of any budget is personnel. And when you have personnel that are locked in with contracts and schedules where they get automatic step increases, cost of living allowances, merit pay, salary hikes, all these other kind of things, and the borough specifically, when they've got health care and benefits packages. When I first got on the borough, the benefit package was 71% of the salary, meaning if you made $100, you got an additional $71 in benefits for retirement and health and everything else. Now, it was down by the time I left, it was down into the 60%, and I think it's come down a little bit more, but you still got at least 50% of the cost of every employee is in that salary and retirement and all the benefits that are associated with it. So that's the largest component. That's why I'm seriously concerned about adding another 6 employees to the budget, because that's another big chunk of money that, first of all, you can't really hardly ever get rid of those positions. And each one is locked in with automatic increases and everything else for years to come. That's where most of that money's going.
Exactly. And then meanwhile, the rest of us who have our hours cut, because the town is shut down, you know, those of us that are quote unquote essentials,
right,
have to come to work every day with no overtime allowed, mandatory lunches. You know, now we're losing everything of our way of life, so that the big government of Alaska gets to keep getting paid. They keep getting per diems and travel and.
Oh yeah.
Oh, it's just.
Well, the governor did shut down the travel, which I think is a good point. But you're making a valid point. It seems like everything that's gone on in the state government has been, in large part, protection of the employees. It was baked into the contracts and into this budget that they receive all their step increases and their pay increases and pay bumps, and that they were guaranteed against being furloughed and everything else. And there are legislators still taking advantage. As of last week, one legislator, Gary Stevens from Kodiak, was still in Juneau. According to his office, he was fighting the COVID stuff from Juneau. Oh, yeah. Meanwhile, his house is under renovation in Kodiak. And so that's why he's still in Juneau collecting $300 a day. So, yeah, I mean, there's still stuff like that going on. And yes, Jerry, it is insulting. And I think that's why more people should be incensed about it, because basically putting, sacrificing the private sector on the altar of the public sector is not sustainable in the long run, because government is a net consumer, not a net producer. And that's where they're missing the boat on this.
Well, cripe, we've got business owners in Fairbanks who are forgoing their pay so they can make sure that their employees have some income coming in.
Right.
I think we need to shut down these legislators so we have that money coming back in.
Well, most of the legislators are now out of session. They shouldn't be collecting per diem as a general rule. They should be back home. And I think this is a conversation, Jerry, you probably should be having with those folks at a high volume. You know, the folks in your neighborhood, the Adam Wolves, the Bart LeBons, the Steve Thompsons, the Scott Kawasaki's. You ought to be having conversations with those people as well. Because.
No. Don't even get me going with Scott Kawasaki.
All right. Well, Jerry, thank you for sounding off on today. I appreciate it. Thank you for calling in.
All right. Thanks for filling in to keep the shows on.
You bet. Happy to do it. Happy to do it. Radio is my life, my friend. Thank you for being part of it. 503-298-4540. 503-298-4540. If you want to call in this morning to Problem Corner, we'd love to hear to see what you have to say on this. Are you with Jerry? Do you think that the government employees and the government should be cutting things back, just like you and the other people in the private sector are? Over here. Good morning. You're on the air.
Howdy.
Howdy.
Hey, one thing you might want to add to your technology there is a way to call in and then be put on hold and still be able to listen to your show, kind of like, Problem Corner here in town is.
Sure.
Now I got to stand, when I call, I got to stand next to my radio to turn it in, wait till I'm in line, or wait until I'm on, turn it down. So it's kind of inconvenient that way, but that's not why I called.
Okay, well, you got 20 seconds to tell me why you called, or you can hold on through the break, okay, and I'll get back to you. Your choice.
No, I just want to know if Donald Trump Jr., I hear that out-of-state hunts or bear hunts are canceled. Is he still going to make his hunt? And I'd like to hear if any of your listeners know. Thank you.
Okay, appreciate it. Thanks very much. I do not know. I would assume it was canceled, but somebody else can tell us. We're out of time. And we hit right up against it. All right, we got one caller on hold right now, and we're going to talk to them here in just a second. Caller, are you there?
Yes.
All right. All right. You want to hold on?
Yeah, this is Hollis.
Okay, Hollis.
Hold on.
Okay, Hollis, you hold on. We'll be right back to you, okay? Don't go anywhere. All right. We're going to be back with Hollis here in just a minute, and we'll be kicking things off. Let me go back out here to the chat room to see what you folks want to talk about this morning, to see what you are chatting about. Brian asked if I still got surfing on my mind. Yes, always, don't you? Sunny beaches and sand and warm sunshine. Who doesn't want to go surfing right about now? Or just float around in the ocean? That sounds like a good idea to me. I'm all about that. Dave says, super nice to see and hear you on the air at this hour. I'm usually up early and catch some of the morning shows. Well, thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. We're not, this is not my normal forte, but because I have the technology to broadcast pretty much anywhere to any radio station in the state, I'm doing some fill-in work here right now, back in my old stomping grounds of KFAR, which is my first love in radio. KFAR was my first love in radio. Man, I used to remember to I remember listening to this station when I was young with my grandfather, be at our Harding Lake hanging out and working around the cabin or doing whatever. And he always had this little, he'd put little speakers around his house, which was high tech back in the day. And he had an old radio there and he had it wired in and you could listen to KFAR all day, all the time. Problem Corner and all the different discussions, all over the place. Crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. Late to the show, what was canceled? I don't know. What was canceled? What was I talking about that was canceled? I have no idea. Chris says, that was my buddy Chris Howard all the way from down under. He's down in Australia. He said, I could handle some sun and surf too, but beaches are closed in Australia. Man, do they got everybody locked in houses inside, or can you at least go outside and walk around while you're socially distancing? It's not KFRX. The subtitles here does a really good job, but it's not KFRX. It's KFAR. I don't know why the subtitles keeps calling it KFRX. Oh, well, I guess I can't complain too much since it's all generated automatically and I don't have to tippity type it out. All right. We're about 65 seconds out right now, 70 seconds from rejoining the radio. Hollis is on the line. We're going to get to him first, and we're going to talk about those things. Essentials only, says Chris. Essentials? What is essential? I mean, if that's a question, they were asking that this morning on the show. It was, what is essential? What is essential? And who decides what is essential? If they say that going to the grocery store is essential, then what does that mean and who decides it? And who decides, I mean, they're going to have people, you know, checking your basket at some point in the future? I mean, crazy stuff. All right. The Denali thing is huge, says Dale. I work for a contractor and Princess pulled all of our projects for the year. Yeah, no, there's going to be ripples felt. There's no doubt about it. Dale, I'd love to hear what you have to say about that as well. If you feel like calling in after Hollis, do so, okay? 503-298-4540. 10 seconds out right now from rejoining Problem Corner right here on KFAR 660 AM. News and conversation. Let's do this. Here we go. Welcome back to Problem Corner, right here on KFAR 660 AM, 97.5 FM News and Conversation on the Heartbeat of Alaska. Hollis is on the phone. He's called in, wants to talk with us this morning. Hollis, what's on your mind?
Well, Michael, you talked about the increase in the budget for the borough. I understand that a couple of those positions, or maybe three, have to do with the transfer station. We need a few more people there making sure that those of us who live in town don't put our trash out there. And because that gives them a certain number of employees doing that, they need a manager of the transfer station guards. So very, very essential positions, I'm sure. now, we get overly excited, and we get excited, of course, when we see what the budget increase is going to be. But that's not the time, really, to get excited. The time to get excited is when we have the elections. And I'm so sorry that we have such a low turnout for voting for people who make these big decisions in our life.
Right.
And we've got to get involved then. Then we don't have to go and beg and try to convince and shame or whatever we have to do to get these people to change their mind.
Right. No, I mean, I think you're
100%. That's not all I have.
You're 100% right, Hollis. I mean, we need to be paying closer attention to this year-round, but especially come election time. I mean, when the city of Fairbanks has a voter turnout that's in the teens, 12, 13, 14%, even upwards of 18%, that's nothing to crow about. I mean, when they talk about getting close to 20% and they're happy, that's a problem. I mean, that's people not participating, right?
Yeah. That's right. That's right. I mean, this is not only your right, it's your responsibility.
I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more, Hollis, and thank you. Yeah, I had heard that this was for trash transfer site code enforcement officers is what I understand that a big chunk of those positions are. So, yeah, I mean, that's all you need is trash cops walking around checking your load in your truck saying, are you from town? What's your address? Which, you know, papers, please. I mean, yeah. All right. Thank you, Hollis, for the call. I appreciate it. Let's continue ahead here with some more phone calls. We go over here. Good morning. Who's this?
Morning, Michael. It's Bull. How you doing?
Good morning, Bull. What's on your mind, my friend?
A couple things. First off, the voting thing. Didn't we do that in Juneau? Didn't we send a bunch of Republicans to Juneau and get the same or worse results?
Well, we did send about 7 or 8 new legislators to Juneau, and we had one that kind of hung the whole mechanism up. That's Gary Knopp from the Soldotna area. He was voted in as a Republican, but decided at the last minute, after kind of jerking everybody around, to caucus with the Democrats. So we did put a bunch of new legislators in down there. Unfortunately, most of them, pretty much all but one, ended up on the minority because of one guy who decided to play political games.
Yeah, and that's a shame. And something you were talking about this morning about the doctors and nurses being laid off.
Yes.
You mentioned that on your show this morning.
Yes.
I love hearing you. I love hearing you at noontime, but it gives me a chance to drive 30 miles so I can call. So.
All right.
We have to remember history. Okay? A quick one. Remember the early 70s when you had the oil embargo?
Right.
What went away within the next 5 or 8 years after the great oil embargo?
I don't know. I mean, hit me with it.
Private gas stations.
Private gas. You mean little
within 5 to 8 years?
Mom and pops.
Little mom and pop. They upped the cost to where mom and pops were making less than a penny a gallon. And by the early 80s, you were buying all your gas basically from the company store. And in my humble estimation, and through talking to people that I know in the medical trade, I think that's what's happening here. They want to get rid of the private health care. Government's been pushing that way with all the rules and regulations and requirements, and they would like to see everything be corporate medicine.
Yeah.
If anybody out there wants to get a feel for what's happened, simply look at Fairbanks Memorial. What they acquired when they went from Banner back to private owned, and look at all the local practices that sold out to the hospital for phenomenal prices.
Right.
And you'll get an idea of what's happening. All right. You have a good day, Michael. Thanks for the show.
Thank you, Bull. Thank you for calling in. We appreciate it. What Bull is referring to is this morning I was talking about reports that are coming in from around the country and around the state of Alaska that many of the hospitals are under capacity by a tremendous amount. Some of them only have 30% capacity right now. Hospitals are losing money. Nurses are having their hours cut or being laid off because everybody's focusing on the coronavirus and leaving everything ready for the coronavirus. And it's just not exploding the way that all the models said that it was going to. And so many, many hospitals are underfunded. The Juneau Hospital, Bartlett Juneau Hospital, which is owned by the city, is losing $250,000 a day because it doesn't have patients in their beds. And many small private practices are on the verge of collapse because, well, they've said stay home. They said don't go out. They don't get any medical. Don't do anything. And so a lot of these small providers are hurting even worse. Let's go over here to the phones and see what you have to say. Good morning. Who's this? You're on Problem Corner.
Hi, this is Mike.
Good morning, Mike.
Calling from the Fairbanks borough, but not in the city.
Okay.
Anyway, you've asked what these government entities are going to do, and it was sort of right here in the Fairbanks News Miner the other day. They were able to get quotes from some of the assembly members. A couple of them, Jimmy Cash, I can't remember the other one. They said the borough's got to make some cuts and it's not a good time to raise taxes. But
right.
Mindy O'Neill and the Williams woman, They wouldn't say that. They didn't say increase taxes. But you know those two are going to be voting for tax increases.
Right.
So, and like you said, the mayor's budget is up. And now they're facing not having this debt reimbursement money that it was part of his budget. So, you know, I think his budget included a mill rate increase to pay for the budget.
Right.
So, and the mayor never said a word about, you know, well, maybe I'll redo the budget in the paper. I mean,
right.
Or, you know, and reconsider all of this stuff. They're coming after us. The majority of them are coming after all these people who can't pay the bills they got now.
Right. Well,
and I'm really worried about it. It's just not right.
No, I agree. I mean, I think that this is going to be a very, very tough time for people in these different communities, especially in Fairbanks, as we see these things come on. Mike, I couldn't agree more. And we should be looking to tighten our belt, not expand.
Yeah, you know, any group of people doesn't and should not get the government they need. They only should get the government they can afford.
Yep. I agree. All right, Mike, thank you so much for your call. Let's go over here, and we'll take one more call, I think, before we go back to break. Good morning. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Rob from Fairbanks. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Rob. What's on your mind, sir?
Hey, is the Carlson Center still using for an emergency medical center right now?
I think they have it set up. The last I heard was last week that they did have it set up as an emergency medical center for potential COVID cases.
Okay, so I don't understand. You got one that's empty, and you've got Bassett Army Hospital and the Fairbanks Memorial Hospital, and people are losing jobs because they can't see the other people that need to go in there. So why don't they take one building and open it up for the rest of the people?
Well, I don't know.
Does that make any sense?
No, I mean, I'm with you. I think that makes a sense to discuss, is that we've got to find a way to make these things happen and to, you know, to allow people to, you know, to be seen. I mean, Must Read Alaska had an article out with four or five doctors that were reaching out to Suzanne Downing, and they did it under anonymous circumstances because they were afraid that the state would push back on their licenses. But they were saying things like, look, we've got people who are not going in to get, you know, certain types of surgeries, or at least even talking to them, because they've been told that those surgeries won't happen, you know, breast cancer and things like that, that could move from stage one to stage two in the time that we've had the shutdown. People presenting at the emergency rooms and emergency departments who are presenting with life-threatening ailments because they didn't bother, you know, for coronary or for diabetes, because they were told don't bother to come in unless you've got COVID symptoms. And so, I mean, I think there's a balancing act here. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, they've got three places delegated for this that is, you know, how many people is on that situation. And then you've got other people that need to be seen for, you know, a chainsaw accident or somebody smashed their hand, and they can't open up a place that can take care of that. And right. I don't understand why they need to tie up three when only one's being utilized.
Right. Well, I mean, it's a good question. It's a good question for sure. I would like to know what's going on with that as well. Hey, Rob, thank you so much
for coming
on board and joining us today. I appreciate you being part of it. It is Problem Quarter right here on KFAR 660 AM. We are running up against the break here. We're going to have time for one more bunch of phone calls. If you want to sound off, phone lines are open. You can get in the queue. Just call 503-298-4540. 503-298-4540. Excuse me. It is your home for Common Sense Radio, KFAR, 660 AM. We'll return with more here in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. Okay. I'm trying to get this thing to work here. Fairbanks Daily News Miner is just obsessed about making sure that they get their, pound of flesh here. Can't even read the news story. They don't even give you a free news story anymore. It's just like, nope, sorry, can't do it. Nope. I can't read the story. Okay. They have a story about the borough budget discussion. If anybody's a member of the Fairbanks Daily News Miner wants to send me a snapshot of that story, I'd love to read it. Before we get going on, I'm just not going to spend another $100 on a subscription to the News Miner for the short period of time here that I'm working on this stuff. I would love to hear what you guys have to say on that. All right, how about that? When the borough officials meet today, the borough mayor's reduced April fees relied on the state assistance, which was approved to help pay off some of the $14 million in upcoming bond debt. The governor wiped out school bond debt reimbursement. The coronavirus epidemic is also expected to present budget challenges. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Well, we'll see what I'll see if I can. I'll see if I can get more. Can't do it. Ugh. All right. I was trying to see more of the story, but I can't do it. All right. Barrels, Tradio. I still got those blue poly barrels, says Ken. Ken still has those blue poly barrels. He's ready to go. he wants Tradio. Don't we all just want Tradio? Don't we all just want Tradio right now? All right. We've got one line now on hold. And we are back with Problem Corner right here on KFAR 660 AM. News and Conversation, 97.5 FM, and we are continuing now with your phone calls. Let's go over here and see what you have to say. Good morning, you're on Problem Corner. Who's this?
This is Mike.
Good morning, Mike. What's on your mind, sir?
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hey, the state is paying the Carlson Center $420,000, I think, for 4 months to rent that building.
Okay.
Just to put that out there, and then I was wondering, you know, the kids aren't in school and stuff, so there's not that much staff being there. Are we going to get a rebate on our property taxes, you know, for the amount of money
we
pay?
Do you get a rebate on your property taxes for the summer months when the schools are empty? Probably not, right?
Probably not. Just throwing that out there.
All right. Well, we appreciate you sounding off on that and throwing that out there for us to cover. Let's go over here as we continue with Problem Corner right here on KFAR 660 AM. Good morning. You're on the air. Who's this?
Hey, good morning. It's Lee, brother.
Good morning, Lee from Delta. What's happening, sir?
Oh, not a lot, man. Just a couple of things in reference to why things are the way they are in reference to the one caller that was talking about all the hospitals being tied up. The first issue is that nothing regarding this virus response has been proportional at the government level and, of course, certainly at the local levels. And right now you can see it in the state with the Carlson Center and, of course, having both of our major hospitals up in Fairbanks tied up for this very purpose. And, again, small population, have to be ready for things, but if everyone was hunkering down and wasn't tied to an invalid model from the get-go, we wouldn't have this problem today. And again, the caller was on to something about major corporations, many of them foreign-owned, are taking over the hospital systems and pushing out the little guys, the independents, and that's where our true strength is to fight this problem. Again, thank you for what you do, man. Appreciate the help that you're trying to spread around and looking forward to what comes next.
All right, Lee. Thank you so much for your call. We appreciate it. I mean, I saw that before I left Fairbanks. There was a lot of battles going on with the hospital and local doctors and things like that who wanted to be able to, you know, practice there or do medicine. It was the whole CON debate. There was a lot of questions about this consolidation of medicine. And now we're seeing some of the pain that can come from something like that. It's an interesting discussion. Let's go over here. Good morning. You're on Problem Corner. Who's this?
Hey, Mike, it's Richard.
Hey, Richard, what's on your mind?
Hey, I was just wondering which legislator was it that really pushed this lockdown when the governor was kind of pushing back. There was a group sort of writing letters saying we have to go into lockdown.
Well, there wasn't a specific legislator, and this was the governor's call. The leadership of the legislature did urge the governor to try and basically, you know, to keep an eye on this. And that was the leadership, both of the House and the Senate. They both sent letters encouraging the governor to take any steps necessary to kind of control this outbreak. But this is on the governor. It's not necessarily on the legislators.
Gotcha. Mike, I just want to say it reminds me of that. I don't know if it was Orson Welles' War of the Worlds, where they said the Martians were coming. I think this is back in the 20s, and everyone kind of lost it. I don't know if you ever read about that.
Right, 1930s. Yeah, it was Orson Welles. Yep.
It's a repeat. Mike, have a great day.
Appreciate it. Thank you for calling in this morning to Problem Corner. 503-298-4540 is the phone number. If you want to sound off, that's what we're all about here today on Problem Corner, taking some calls from you and seeing what you guys think about the lockdown, you know, the government costs involved, everything else. It'd be interesting to see your thoughts on this. Let's go over here. Good morning. You're on Problem Corner.
Hey, Mike. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question. What do you think about Dunleavy's power to override Berkowitz's stance as mayor? Can he do that?
His power to override the stance as mayor on what specifically?
Well, specifically what you were talking about on your earlier show this morning.
Go ahead.
Where his ability to shut things down and move it into 3 and 4 months forward looking.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I think the governor would have authority on that to a point. I mean, the thing is that these are compartmentalized. So you've got, you know, the borough is a subdivision of the state. Municipalities are subdivisions of the state. So probably the governor, if you tried to look at it from that perspective, has ultimate authority. What I was talking about earlier was Mayor Ethan Berkowitz was looking to extend his emergency powers out till November the 15th. And he said that it's ostensibly because he wanted to match what the governor has. The governor's had his powers extended to November the 15th, but they're for two completely different reasons. The governor had his powers extended out that far because the legislature is going into recess and they will not be in session again until January.
They're in recess
right now, but once they sign out, they're gone till January. So that doesn't hold water. Berkowitz's assembly is in session every week. I mean, they could call it in and call it out if he needed a little more time with his emergency powers, which allows him to spend money pretty much willy-nilly without much oversight, then he could get it a couple weeks at a time. He doesn't need it for that long.
It's a dangerous move.
It is.
It doesn't bode well for the American way.
No, it doesn't.
You know, I mean, to be seeing this.
Yeah, and you couple this with like what happened in Michigan, where the governor there has deemed many products non-essential. I mean, like, you know, vegetable and seeds and dirt and paint and, you know, cosmetics and all these things where they may be in the store that you're in, but you can't buy them. It's illegal now because they're non-essential. That starts to smack of something, you know, totally centrally planned and really onerous for the American people and American freedom.
Fully agree. Thank you, Mike.
Appreciate you calling in this morning. Over here, good morning. You're on Problem Corner. Who's this?
Yes, this is Ray.
Good morning, Ray. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I've heard that there was like 400,000 Chinese traveling back and forth before this really hit us. And, of course, all these countries have been studying chemical warfare. Are we sure that we're not being attacked chemically from the communist regime? Of China?
Well, I mean, there's been a lot of speculation. There's been a lot of kind of tinfoil hat scenarios out there, Ray, that have said something like this. But then I've also seen breakdowns, of the genome of this virus and say that, you know, the virus is a mutation of another virus that originally came out of Fort Detrick on the East Coast. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's just so much information out there. I highly doubt that this is some kind of coordinated attack. We're the Chinese. Were the Chinese, you know, kind of complicit? Did they kind of obfuscate the truth? Did they lie about the number of people infected? Did they lie about the number of deaths? I would probably say yes on that part. Look at what happened to all their doctors and journalists that were reporting on this stuff. Those folks have all disappeared.
The godless regime there, the communist, they'll sacrifice a million of their own and then send another million to die and another million.
Yeah.
Just to get power.
Well,
that's my thought.
You know, I wouldn't doubt that because we've seen that kind of evil before, but I don't think that this is some kind of organized thing. I think they may be just taking advantage of something that is going on right now. Right? I mean, I think that that's probably more along the lines of what's really happening is they just happen to be taking advantage of something that has spilled out. And, we've seen notifications now of Chinese, of the Chinese government, picking up businesses in Italy and Spain dirt cheap because of the turndown, and that they're out there trying to consolidate some financial holds in different areas. Not surprising to me at all that they're being, that they're being opportunistic. But I don't think that my personal feeling is that I don't think that it's a coordinated attack. I really don't. Thank you for your call. We appreciate it. 503-298-4540 down to the last couple minutes here. We could take take a couple more calls here if we are quick about it here on the way out. We'd love to hear what you guys have to say and, give you a chance to sound off on this. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to invite back Brad Keithley, who comes in every week for our weekly top two here on Problem Corner. Let's go over here. Good morning. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
G-Man Fairbanks.
Hello, G-Man Fairbanks.
So I'm looking up the live Senate poll results.
Okay.
Alaska senators vote results on permanent fund. What was the date? I can't. They're not letting me find it.
Oh.
Remember what the date was when they stole the rest of our dividends and they didn't give us two dividends?
It was a Saturday, 2 weeks ago Saturday, this last Saturday. So about 15 days ago. It was right at the end of the month.
Okay.
Okay.
And then the other thing I had was... So the school lunches that everybody's getting breakfast and lunch for their children.
Right, right.
I think that was set up for less fortunate families.
Yeah, and how?
And, I'm watching $70,000 Ford pickups and Escalades and Denali Suburbans drive up to the school to get free lunches, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, isn't it? We're out of time for today, though. Thank you, G-Man. Folks, we'll see you tomorrow with more Problem Corner. Yeah. And that's the thing. He's not wrong. He's not wrong. People pulling up in $50,000 pickup trucks getting the free lunches for their kids. How dependent have you become on government at that point? I mean, how screwed up are your priorities at that point if that's what's going on? Definitely some crazy stuff. All right, folks, we're out of time for today. Chapel Hill was working on this virus in 2015, then sent it to Wuhan, says Brian. I've seen similar discussions. It'd be interesting if we can ever get the full track down on what happened with this, but I doubt we'll ever see it. All right, folks, thank you for coming on board. Oh, I just saw this. What is this? I'm concerned because in a few just short weeks, we've lost quite a few inalienable rights, freedom to travel, earn a living, enjoy the fruits of one's labor, peaceful assembly, attend religious services. Now, I'm not saying any of these activities will be wise during a pandemic, but that doesn't supersede the Constitution. My focus will be on how quickly and how completely the various levels of government return them. Well, that's always the million-dollar question, isn't it, David? Because if history tells you anything, they have a tendency to hold on to those things and not want to return them when it's all said and done. Folks, it's Problem Corner on KFAR 660 AM, 97.5 FM. We will see you tomorrow. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.